Oh shit. Oh shit. It's going off now.
It's the Highway Diary Podcast. I'm here with my main man, Daniele Bolelli.
Thank you very much for having me here.
You are the Drunk at Taoist Podcast. First of all, before we get started, I have to ask, how loudly or not loudly can swearing happen? I don't know about the vents here in the...
I do it all the time.
Okay, good.
With doors open, so it's all right. Good.
Do you want to lean forward a little bit, or I can...
catch the audio better. Yeah.
Okay, there we go. So, Drunk at Taoist Podcast, you're laying down some knowledge there. It's almost like you're teaching a doctorate in street smarts, you know what I'm saying? Like, you are laying down some facts on people. Tell me about the Drunk at Taoist Podcast.
Drunk at Taoist Podcast, I didn't really think I was going to do a podcast at any point. I hardly knew what the hell podcasts were up until not that long ago. I started ending up being a guest on podcasts, being on Rogan's, being on a few things as a result of books I had written. And then the response was good enough that I started getting all the messages by people saying, oh man, you need to start your own podcast. And I'm like, fuck man, I have no time already. I have no... know-how, and I understand it's not the most complicated thing technologically, but still, I don't want to put the time and energy into it. At the same time, it was nice, you know, people's feedback was so sweet. I was like, tell you what, if somebody knows how and can hook it up and I just have to go somewhere and speak into a microphone, I can do it. And right there, I got Rich Evers email me back when I put that thing on Facebook saying, I'm a film editor in Culver City. I have access to a full studio. We can do it anytime. I was like, okay, well, in that case,
yeah,
let's roll. And then Evan Culver jumped on to help with the web part and everything else. So, you know, those guys were awesome, made everything easy. All I have to do is show up and talk.
In the age of the internet, if you say out to an audience as big as the Joe Rogan podcast, hey, I'm thinking about doing this, anything, I mean, you have this Death Squad family just catches you, and they have technical knowledge, they're on the internet, they're listening to podcasts.
Exactly, that's exactly how it happens.
Such a crazy time to live in the age of the internet, you know what I mean? You have this big philosophy, kind of a cultish philosophy on your podcast of creating your own religion. That's an idea I love a lot. Tell me about that.
To me, it's like, if you are an individual, you're going to create your own path in every way. Whether, and by religion, I use the term religion in a very loose sense. It's way of life. Call it philosophy, if the word religion bugs you, call it however you want to call it. But basically, it's your own way of life. If you are not creating your own way of life, you are living somebody else's life, which is the biggest waste you can make. So to me, it's like, it's not even like it's my trip versus like it's my own weird little thing. It's like anybody who's human, who's alive and wants to be real, should do it. And really boils down to figuring out what you're about, what you feel about all the great themes in life. And, you know, people give you these answers, other answers. You're going to look at what's out there and based on that, come up with your own conclusions.
Yeah, that's, I always hear the Pope saying things like Pope Benedict, our last Pope, was saying, I don't like cafeteria Catholics. And what a cafeteria Catholic is someone who picks and chooses, I'll believe that, but not this. He's like, no, you have to believe absolutely everything. What are we doing here? We're the Catholics. We're telling you what to believe.
Which is a joke, because the reality is that in every single religion in the universe, people pick and choose. They may say they don't, but they do.
Yeah.
Because there are just so many contradictory advices contained under the same cover that you can't possibly follow them all. And so what inevitably people do is that they'll focus on the part that click with their personality. They'll skip on the unsavory parts that bother them and essentially make up their own thing within an existing tradition. What I would suggest is be a little more honest and just, if you are doing that anyway, might as well do it with all sources available to you rather than trying to pretend you're following something where really you're editing to your own liking within one tradition. At that point, edit away. Do it with everything. And I find that a little more honest.
You also talk about like boring history. And you try to mix things up in your history class. Keep it alive. And you're always railing on about the academia, how it's just like well, how many degrees do you have after your name? What's the names of the institutions that you were at? And so it's like the Gestapo is always going to be in charge.
Yeah, I mean, it's this, it's the problem of all institutions, whether it's an academic institution, where we're talking about religious institution, is about anything that become an institution become loses touch with life, with change, with it becomes about defending an ideology, defending a way of doing things, implementing a certain tradition. And the problem with that is that you lose touch with changes that are happening every moment. And anytime you start playing defense rather than being creative, you end up losing the passion that exists within things. And you are just this defender of the rules and regulations, which nobody really want to listen to. So it's the main crime that I find within academic circles is lack of passion.
Mm.
People who teach and nobody, not even they, know why they teach. Because it's like, unless you are really passionate about what you're doing, why the hell are you teaching? There are 7 million other jobs you can do with no passion to just collect the paychecks. Do those.
Mm-hmm.
Who told you that you should teach?
I also, from the student side, I love how you went on this rant like, no, you got to get into the best institution you can and steal that master's degree and then do what you can with it.
Yeah, because, I mean, going to school,
take their accreditation and then set up your own.
Yeah, because the reality is empire. Going to school is not designed to educate you in the sense of make you wiser or a better human being. It's about making you jump through a lot of hoops, giving you a certain body of knowledge, which is certainly better than not having it, but it's not really making a huge difference in the quality of the human you are. And so my thing is, however, it's necessary to do that, because in some cases you flat out can't have access to certain things unless you have degrees. I mean, there are plenty of jobs that you can do without degrees, in which case, good for you.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going for something where you do need degrees, then yeah, I wouldn't take it as face value. I would look at it as I'm here to get my stupid piece of paper, and I'm just gonna be a good ninja and show you what the face that you want to see, but wiggle your way around to make sure that you got what you want without letting them steal your soul in a way.
It's almost like if you can rise the ranks in academia, then like you kind of learn like almost how to be a sleazy politician, you know what I mean?
That's, it's
like
you know, it's funny you said that, because as you were saying it, when you say rise, I was thinking exactly about politics.
Yeah.
I was thinking the exact same thing. It's the same thing. You, I'm sure there are a lot of people who started politics with a good heart, and by the end of the process, good luck finding too many of those.
Yeah.
And it's not because they may have not meant well originally, but the process itself that they have to go through grind at everything they are. And what it spits back out on the other side is a pale shadow of what they used to be.
And also, I mean, like, I love cults and Freemasonry. I love studying all the occult stuff. And it's like, it's almost like, you look at all these generals with all their degrees. It's like all their Freemasonic degrees. Or they rise up in academia and look at all the things after my names. It's just something, a series of, like, initiation rites that make you something like a credit. Oh, this person's good because we can also attach these things to his name.
Right.
It has nothing to do with the skill or adeptness they are at that job, but just how they can.
That's why I dig is like in jiu-jitsu, in Brazilian jiu-jitsu, unlike many martial arts where you get your belts because of you put in the time, but it really doesn't say much about skill. In jiu-jitsu, usually, is if you are at a certain level, is because you can beat 90% of people at the level below. That means something. You know, when somebody is a black belt in jiu-jitsu, it's the real deal.
Yeah.
There's no question about their skills.
Yeah.
That's rank that means something. Most other titles don't mean shit, really. They are just like...
It's funny, because I also come from the improv comedy world, and I came up in the Upright Citizens Brigade, and you're literally a number level 1 student up to a level 6 student, you know, or whatever, and then you can get it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also so much schmoozing that goes along with it, that it's like, you know. And people who are established comedians' girlfriends have a easier time getting onto it, you know. It's like, it's all that stuff, so... I don't know. That's just my own bitterness coming out. But there's these...
You should just become an established comedian's girlfriend. That would help.
Yeah, I haven't gone down that road yet. but also, like, if the Pope knows the most about Jesus, you know what I mean? And then he's like, okay, so the new Pope came in, Pope Francis, mm-hmm. and he's like, oh, we still hate the gays. But if you know the most about Jesus, shouldn't you be poor as fuck, walking around in sandals, and saying to people, no, whoever is the pure of heart, throw the first stone. Right. He's in there, rich as fuck, going throwing stones at gay people. Mm-hmm. Fuck you, Pope.
Yeah, I mean, it's the whole history of the Catholic Church is just, it's so weird that it becomes funny. You know, yeah. It becomes like a comedy. And granted, today is couched in better language, where it's not like, no, we love them, we just hate the sin, not the sinner, you know, that kind of thing. But yeah, the overall message, the fact that so much, not just of Catholicism, of Christianity in general, becomes Christianity becomes the yardstick according to which you judge everyone else, mm-hmm. and Jesus is all about not judging.
Mm-hmm.
There's this big emphasis on the poor within Jesus, and so much, not all of it, definitely there are parts that are not like that at all, but so much of Christianity is all about, from a Protestant super capitalist Christianity to a Catholic, you know, look at the Catholic Church and how much they have.
And also the Puritans who were burning church people, they were burning witches and stuff.
It's yeah, like, there's a very pacifist, mellow Jesus, turn the other cheek, and it leads to crusades, bloodshed.
Yeah,
it's just like,
yeah.
Do really people not see the cognitive dissonance? Then it's just like, come on, man. Yeah. Really?
Well,
you
just
see no contradiction there at all?
They're just these monkeys who are like, oh, right or wrong, who do I get to stab?
Right.
I definitely want to stab someone, because mm-hmm. that's in my DNA. What book can I bend to stab this guy?
And that's exactly what happens. That's what I mean by making up your own thing. You know, you focus on some really bloody passage in the Bible, which I'm sure you can find, there's mm-hmm. plenty, mm-hmm. and you skip over the mellow, turn the other cheek, love your enemy part, and you can turn Christianity into that.
All right, so if Christianity, we've done a lot of Christianity bashing. You've studied a lot of world religions. I'm a struggling up and coming stand-up comedian in Los mm-hmm. Angeles. Who should I sell my soul to become a headliner? What religion has a god that I can cut a chicken's head off and then be a headliner? What? Anything, if any
whoever
book?
Whoever can open a door for you in that sense, you know what I mean? No, I mean, it's just, it's another thing. It's like when you talk about religion, there's so, it's even hard to describe one religion as equal one thing. Even when we say, you know, bashing Christianity, a lot of aspects of Christianity, yeah, big time. Not all of it. There's some cool
yeah.
stuff. There are some awesome human beings that the way they interpret Christianity is brilliant.
Yeah.
Is that the real Christianity or not? I don't know, and I don't care.
But
the
it's
reality
like that
is
person
what
is
they turn it
nice
into
thing.
Is a good thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Many others don't. In that sense, what real Christianity was, it's impossible to tell anyway, because it's so long ago and the sources are so shady. And it's contradictory, it's weird. So I'm not really interested on the reality of a religion because I don't think anybody can figure it out. I'm interested in where people take it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, 80% of modern Christianity, just to throw a number out there, makes me throw up. But there doesn't mean everybody. So it's not like Christianity across the board, everyone is bad and terrible. Same thing with Islam, same thing with Judaism.
Mm-hmm.
I tend to find the percentages being a little better in cases like Buddhism, for example, or Taoism. But then again, percentages. We're not talking about this religion is 100% good, this one is 100% bad. The percentages change a bit because some of the theology give you a good push in one direction
mm-hmm.
or another.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what makes it possible when I teach history of religions for people not to kill each other, that we make it clear it's not a personal issue where one label equal one judgment we pass on it. It's way more complicated than that. Each religion, there are more differences within a religion than there are between religions.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't generalize. I would just go case by case. Specific beliefs, specific ideas, interesting or scary, not religion as a whole, because you can be looking at the exact same symbol in a way and attach completely different meanings to it. So you think you're having the conversation about the same thing. We're talking about Christianity, except that what they mean by Christianity and what you mean are completely different things.
Mm-hmm.
So rather than discussing in these abstract terms, let's look at practical decisions, practical circumstances. What does your Christianity mean here and now about this one issue? That interests me. Otherwise, it's too abstract of a discussion where too often people are...
They use
the same word to talk about different things. And so you're completely talking over each other's head and not really understanding each other.
Yeah, so rallied against TED Talks. I was listening.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was weird. I don't know what got...
Are you still... I mean, those are very powerful people.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't really looked into it that much. Mm-hmm. So I'm just going on a base initial vibe of the whole thing. The economics of the whole thing trouble me, from what I understand.
Same thing with the South by Southwest Film Festival, where they have all these comedians down and then they don't pay them anything.
Right.
It's like... Oh, so I'm a comedian whose name you're going to attach as a badge to your fucking general degree that my name was there, but you're not paying anybody. So it's like all these people going down to like worship the pyramid of the South by Southwest Film Festival. Same thing with these TED Talks.
That's the feeling I got. Again, I'm open to changing my mind if I realize that maybe I was basing my vibe on incomplete information, but based on the information I have, I find that shady.
Also, you were making the point that, like, if all the people in the audience just gave, like, 10% of their, like, gross income, it's like when your personal fortune is, like, as much as, like, a teacher's trust fund for their pension fund for their retirement, you know what I mean? If that's your personal income... You're not going to live 6,000 lifetimes.
Right.
So how about you maybe fix an issue?
And some people do. You know, some people in that sense. That's why it's like, again, same as we were saying about religion, also about economics. You know, the rich, the poor.
Yeah.
There are plenty of awesome poor. There are plenty of fucked up poor people. There are plenty of nice rich people. There are plenty of horrible rich people. You know, it's like, so in that sense, yeah, there are some people with a ton of money. And they should have a ton of money because they are... good humans who use that money in good ways. Partially they use it for their own enjoyment, but partially they also do stuff that help other human beings. That's brilliant.
Mm-hmm.
And then there are some evil rich fucks who are just hoarding the stuff in a way that just...
they might as well be hoarding cats. It's not healthy for their brain.
No, it's not healthy for anybody because, again, you don't even get to use it. It's not that you say, oh, you know what? I'm being a little bit of a selfish bastard, but I'm having such a blast that I'm having the greatest life ever every second of the day. Well, good for you. You know what I mean? Then it works. A lot of these are people who are sitting on their money, counting it, and it's not really for anybody's enjoyment. It's a perverted game of numbers.
I saw this one guy. He had a conveyor belt of Lamborghinis in his house.
Right.
And he had, like, you know, 26 Lamborghinis.
Yeah, only 24,
that
man.
He had
life
to pull
sucks if you only have 24.
A lever and then... ridiculous.
But when I get to 30, then I'll really be happy. When happiness will
kick in. Is that the goal,
in.
Or is the goal just to, like, have a girl watch fucking all those Lambos go by and have her vagina explode? That's pretty much what's going on.
Yeah, but I mean, exactly. It's one of those things. It's just, I mean, whatever makes people happy is their thing. It's no judgment there, but certainly some type of pursuit of happiness seems healthier than others.
Yeah. I also found it so that I saw this AP article where George Soros was walking around some shitty country and then he was going to talk to them about economic policy.
Mm-hmm.
And like, if you know about George Soros, he's on the top of the World Bank and their just goal has been to like bankrupt third world countries with their like ridiculous hedge fund shark development schemes, and then they're having them put like the beautifulness of the Amazon jungle on hawk to their hedge fund bullshit, just fucking like decimating everyone. But no, George Soros gets his fucking photo taken where he's walking around with poor people going, this is my economic plan. And people are like, oh, he's rich, he's the head of financial things, that makes sense. It's so, I find like the top is so disingenuous, and that the people at the TED Talks going, I wonder how we can change. Spend some money. How about pay your employees more so that you don't have $10 billion? The fact that you've accumulated that much shows you don't pay the people who help you get that.
Right.
Anyway, just my first. I'm sorry. I just have you on here so I can yell at you about rich people. Speaking of me as well, I originally sent you a video called Debunking Wilhelm Skeptisch, which, you know, kind of shows my, you know, the problem with religion, too. There's not a lot of evidence that comes out of religion. Not a lot of evidence that comes out of ghost hunting. It's a lot of them scaring themselves with a camcorder, you know? I don't know.
That's why, to me, the benchmark is not claims of some stuff that you can't prove, because that, you know, it, like, the whole idea of faith means nothing to me, because it's like, based on what, you know, if there's no evidence for it? Having strong beliefs without having evidence to back them up, it's kind of scary. It's not a good thing, it's a scary thing. What interests me in regards to religion is the stuff that you can look at, and, you know, a certain idea I translate to you being nicer to your neighbor. That's a good idea. Mm-hmm. A certain idea turns into you being a judgmental bastard who wants to shoot your neighbor. That's scary. That's objective to me. That's not about some claim about what happens after you die. Who the fuck knows anyway? But that's real right here, right now, in a way that you can gauge the effectiveness of an idea based on evidence.
Do you think religion is just a good way to set, like, monikers in your brain to turn those decisions to the good instead of being a jerk, you know?
Could it's be, like, and what, again, if it works that way, great. I mean, to me, really, I'm not really interested in arguing theory. I'm interested in what elevates the quality of life. Anything that improves the quality of life, I'm down with. Anything that doesn't, bug me.
And you can see that there is, like, when a huge population is the same religion and they're all, like, positive vibing. You know, I've been to this, like, church in Hollywood called Mosaic, and it's fine, but when the preacher says Jesus, I'm like, I don't know what that means. But certainly there is a feeling in the room of this unity, and people are, like, putting their hands in the air and feeling, like, Jesus vibes, like, passing through them. Whatever that is, that mass hysteria, it does give you a kind of weird feeling, you know?
But what interests me then is also how you walk out of that place and how you treat everyone else.
Yeah.
Not just the members of the club, but how that mixes a human being 24 hours a day with anyone you meet. That interests me.
Mm.
Otherwise, whatever. I don't particularly care.
How I treat people afterward is usually I feel weird and I just run out of there.
Right.
But there is that positive feeling in the moment itself that is...
Like, that's one of the problems with identity, with closed groups, is that sometimes they give you definitely a benefit, but it's reserved for members only and fuck everyone else. That becomes a problem.
Yeah, yeah.
Because it's you're trading one good thing for a horrible thing at the same time. That's not really a good deal. I'm interested in things, you know, maybe I don't believe in whatever weird God you believe in, but your believing in that God gives you strength to be nicer to other people, including people who don't believe in that same God, then good for you. Believe in pink unicorns. I'm all for it. You know, it's like, who the hell am I to tell you it's not real? It's very real in the sense that it's affecting you in a way that makes you a nicer human being. That's real, and I like it. Doesn't affect me if I think there is a big pink unicorn that tells you this and that. Doesn't do nothing for me, but hey, good for you. Keep it. You know? As long as the effect is you being a nicer human being to everyone else.
Yeah.
That's the one key element.
If you're in traffic and you're so angry and you're like, ah, pink unicorn, it turns off the violence.
Why not?
There you go. Go to your happy place, buddy.
Absolutely. because, I mean, really, that's the only thing that matters, in a way, is how you, the quality of your action, the quality of how you behave in day-to-day life. It's the only thing you can measure where there's an evidence there that's based on something.
Mm.
Otherwise, it's random fantasies that have nothing to do with... or maybe they are real, who the hell knows, but it's abstract anyway, and it doesn't really affect here and now.
Speaking of quick segue, things that affect here and now, and measuring, I got an Amazon link on my podcast. You can click through that. And, you know, it's calculated. That's measurable. That's a psychic good vibe that can, you know, support the podcast. So I just put it out. I just figured out how to do it. So click through there. This is also, go to my website, erichollerbach.com. There's this thing called Suppressed Inventions, and it's a little documentary short about you know, the possibility of free energy machines. I showed this, there was this backyard inventor called Stan Meyer who made a dune buggy that ran on water, and then a general came down to, like, investigate the military aspect, and then he was poisoned in his favorite restaurant that he frequented. Then there was this Japanese company called Genepax, and they were like, great, we figured it all out. Car that runs on water. Then their website just went, oh, we mismanaged our resources. And then in 30 days after that, it was gone. You couldn't access it anymore. What do you think about free energy technology?
I mean, it's obviously where we need to go. Otherwise, we're screwed as a species. Obviously, there are certain interests in the here and now that are don't want to go there because their profits between now and doomsday would be screwed. So they probably want to push it as long as possible before making a kind of a switch. Now, the problem with that gamble is that you're assuming that when you really need it, when it comes down to you either figure out a new source of energy or we're screwed as a civilization, that we'll have the answer ready-made right there, right now.
Yeah.
That's somewhat optimistic because I don't know that we have it right now. And where... But yeah, the bottom line is that there are certainly, despite the fact that that's what, as a humanity, that's what we need, is clearly there are certain interests that don't really want to go down that path now.
And it just seems like, look at the availability. For 50 years now, it's like, oh, look at this giant piece of machinery that uses oil. Look at, like, doesn't matter if it's got a new Hemi or fucking, like, a CD player, an MP3 jack. That thing is burning gas.
Yeah,
and it and they keep on putting out new ones, even though, you know, natural gas might be better. But I totally think, like, there seems to be this instant... And you can't even, like, Tesla's cars, sure. You know, they're still, like, outrageously expensive.
Right.
If there was a real effort to mass produce this thing, we could turn around, even with known technology. There's hydrogen-powered cars. I saw this thing, they were selling it in Germany, and it's like a solar panel that takes water and makes hydrogen. So you can have a solar panel thing. Everyone has it in the end of their driveway. It just makes hydrogen all day, and they have a hydrogen-powered car. That could be implemented with known technology that's out there. But somehow, it's not widely available.
There's money involved.
You know, the car companies have to be in bed with the oil companies.
Of course.
It's the only thing that makes any sense.
Of course. That's by definition.
Yeah. But you're not willing to go the whole way and say that you think that there is free energy technology available now?
I don't know. There may be.
I don't know. I look at the internet a lot, and that's what it seems to be.
There's, like, the stuff that I was looking, because obviously that's what I want, right?
Right, right.
As far as some of the stuff that I've seen, many of the more promising technologies in that regard seem to just shift the problem in terms of... oil is obviously horrible, but then you switch to biofuels, which are better in some ways and not so good in others. And then, so based, and again, keep in mind, very limited evidence, very limited research. So clearly, there may be stuff out there that I haven't seen that I'm like, oh, damn, that's way more impressive. But based on what I've seen, I got the feeling that there wasn't a ready-made, easy solution to it. Like the ones we have are partial solutions, which are really good ideas. That could supplant maybe 10% of our energy usage. Hey, that's better than nothing.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as completely replacing the insane amount of energy that we use today, I didn't see it. Doesn't mean it's not there. Just based on what I've seen, I didn't get the feeling that we are there.
Again, and I'm very influenced by the things I see on the internet, but there, people have made these magnet motors that they look like they're going 1,200 RPMs, and it's all magnets, and I think... the fuck couldn't that power?
But it's the same thing as, like, I have the same feeling about that as I do about the many things I regularly see on the internet that I want to believe, and maybe they are real, but I just don't know about people who say, if you take this common household ingredient, mix it in that way, you cure cancer tomorrow.
Yeah.
Sound good. Some people vouch anecdotally for it forever, and the argument is bad pharmaceutical companies are preventing it, and I can clearly see why there's a logic to that. But at the same time, do I know for a fact that that's how it is? I don't.
Yeah.
You know.
And I think, you know, sometimes there's even, you can eat your sandwich. That's fine. I've, on the podcast, I've gone through drive-thrus before. Because, you know, when you're hitting open mics and stuff, sometimes you just got to, you know, do a podcast on the road, have a sandwich, you know.
Right.
Don't worry about it. What? Even if we don't have a podcast to record, I'm just going to hang out here about once a week anyway, just because, you know, there's a lot of attractive girls walking around Santa Monica College.
That's why teaching is a good gig.
It's not bad. You've set yourself up pretty well here. I see the empire you got here. Genius. Are you actually a Taoist, or have you made your own religion? Has Taoism informed most of the Daniele Bolelli's own religion he's made for himself?
Taoism makes sense to me. And what I like most about it is the fact that you don't really have to be a Taoist, in a strict sense. It's like, it's not about holding to a certain set of beliefs. It's what kind of, like, so much of the things that I found in Taoism were things that I thought before, that I see all around me in terms of in nature, in just human interaction. So to me, Taoism is not like a set of beliefs that require faith. It's just an acknowledgement of the way things are. Most Taoist principles are, to me, it's like looking at the laws of physics. It's like, do I believe it? It's not about belief. It's how it is. You know, if you drop an object, it falls down. Lots of Taoist stuff seems like that to me.
It's more of like being an observer instead of looking at the world with your own beliefs and conclusions in your head already going, oh, that thing, that tree blowing around is as beautiful as Jesus, and like implanting your own. Taoism is more of a passive kind of watching
the wheel
spin.
It's about the way things are.
Yeah.
It's nature. It's the way of the universe in a way. So that's why it's not really required a belief for becoming a Taoist. What the hell does it mean? You're human, you're alive, you look at how the universe works. If you recognize it, if you see certain patterns, you get it, you know. So to me, in that sense, it is, but I wouldn't even call, like, even the term Taoist is kind of fun in that way. It's like, what does that mean? It's like, Tao literally means the way. So it's like you are a waste. What the, you know, it's like it's. It really is just about. I find Taoism brilliant because it explains perfectly how things are, the basics mechanics of life, and so how you can flow with it. And it's not trying to convert you. It's like, you want to believe it? Good. It's, again, it's not even believe it. You want to implement it? Good. You don't want to implement it? Who cares? Nobody's trying to convince you. It just, things are the way they are, whether you believe in them or not, whether you like them or not, whether you implement them or not. This is how things are. Do what you will with it.
It's almost just like being a Californian, you know what I mean? Just going with the flow, man. So your sandwich with your wrapper. Last night, I got this, I went to this local, like, Middle Eastern place, and they have these, like, pitas with, like, meat baked into them, and they're so amazing. And I got a bunch of them, and I just shoved it in the toaster oven, and then I just put two in there, and then I started eating and realized that there was a piece of wax paper that was now half gone.
Yike.
Because, you know, I see a pita and then meat and stuff and then another pita, I think a sandwich. But no, that's an open-faced meat pie that I was
not
prepared
the way
for.
It works, yes.
The wax paper suffered the consequence. You know what I've always wanted to, like, have, like, a, I don't know if I'd be able to get away with this, but be a professor and teach a Kama Sutra class. You know what I mean? Talk about embracing life, embracing experience. You know what I'm saying?
Right. As in practical one?
Yeah. It's actually funny because when I went to college, I knew this girl. She's like, oh, yeah, I went to a co-ed dorm, and we just always had orgies. Like, imagine if you prep schools.
Damn.
They just have, if there's a co-ed prep school, almost 100% they're having co-ed orgies. That's what she said. You know, if you're coming of age around, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
That's just what happened. That is math. Anyway.
You missed out.
I know. I went to a public school, and I was always like, sinners! You know, I was raised Catholic. That's where the anger comes from.
I see your point.
And as I just quick side note, while I was looking at colleges in New York City, Marymount Manhattan College is one place I visited. That is a school filled with ballerinas, it's about 80% beautiful women and 20% gay guys. So as a straight guy, if you go there, awesome. Clean up.
Yeah.
So Marymount Manhattan College, I'm just saying, I've never seen such ridiculous...
And you didn't go.
I didn't go. I went to a New School University.
What's wrong with you?
I don't know. I fucked up. Oh, I thought I wanted to be in their theater program, and I didn't make it in their theater program. But then I ended up being a writing major. I could have been a writing major and cleaned up in there. I know. This is my regret I'm trying to impart onto...
Oh, my God.
Things aren't bad at Santa Monica College, by the way.
No, no.
Jodi Arias is in the news. That's this hot chick who murdered some people, I guess. Her boyfriend, I think. Mm-hmm. But basically, the only reason she's in the news is because she's a hot chick, and then people can make a story. Oh, Jodi Arias is depressed. And then make a news story and
she's
then have
hot? Really?
Ad revenue. You don't think so?
Not really.
No? I think that's why she's already got a Lifetime movie deal. Boom.
Really?
I just think in America things are they've overmanaged her situation because she's on death row, but she's in but then she was suicidal, so they got her a suicide counselor. So they're getting her suicide counselor until maybe they'll approve her for the death penalty, and then wait a bureaucratic 10 years before. It's like suicide. They have a suicide counselor until death row.
Yeah,
give me a fucking
make
break.
No sense. It's kind of like when you have a heart attack on death row and you are pretty much gone, and they bring you back. It's like, what?
Yeah.
We can kill you. It's like,
yeah,
that doesn't make any fucking sense.
How
somebody
are they
want to kill themselves? Let them kill themselves. What the hell is wrong with you?
It's like, can't we just save the government any fucking money and give her
yeah.
a rickety chair and a rope?
I want my injection now. Okay, let's set it up. Big deal.
How are things in Italy as far as bureaucracy? Is it worse?
Bureaucracy is the same everywhere. It just sucks.
Yeah.
I mean, Italian bureaucracy is particularly bad, but bureaucracy all over the world. I thought U.S., because U.S. in so many other ways is function better than Italy, it would be better when it comes to bureaucracy. Not that much.
Yeah.
Mildly better, but not substantially.
Is it true that there's a mafia almost wing of the government? Is it kind of like that?
Yeah, and I mean, it's also part of the culture. It's just playing a little bit around the rules and figuring, scratch my back, I'll scratch yours kind of thing. It's just part of the way things are done.
Yeah, that just kind of sounds like American politics too. So you're also you do Muay Thai and Jiu-Jitsu and fighting, and, a lot of professors are kind of, scrawny or fat and,
mm-hmm.
All academic. Why is that an important part of your lifestyle?
Bringing together things that don't go together, speaking of Taoism, that's, classic Taoist idea, yin and yang, it's not just that you are missing out on one aspect of life, but when you combine what you have with something else, even what you have by nature becomes better and it becomes cleaned up and improved. So if you are nerdy and sensitive by nature, then you should jump into the exact opposite to complement yourself, to make you more well-rounded, to give you a... It's like, you want to be a super smart, brainy guy, or do you want to be a dumb athlete? Well, not really. You want to be both. It's without the dumb and without the scrawny. You want to be smart and strong. You want to be sensitive and assertive. You want to have, all the qualities that typically we think of as opposites. Why the hell would you want to keep them separate? These are good. It's like women being emotional, men being matter of fact, taking care of business. What's wrong with both things? Is you end up with a universe in which men are efficient and have kind of dull and have no emotion, and women are all sensitive and nurturing and sweet but can get shit done. And it's like, those are stereotypes. Wanting to live up to a stereotype doesn't seem very desirable. So to me, it's combining things like the physical and mental and spiritual, however you want to call it, need to go hand in hand. Otherwise, if you separate them, you completely miss out on not only every other aspect of life, but even the one you focus on is not as complete as you would be if you bring something else. To me, martial arts is interesting because it's about unfiltered reality. It gives you an immediate feedback. You can be lost in your head philosophizing or arguing things, or none of your ideology, your philosophy, your good thoughts, your matters when you step on the mat. Is just, can you do this or not?
Mm-hmm.
There's a certain simplicity, there's a certain beauty in that that I dig.
Mm.
And that's definitely one of the aspects that attracts me. And it forces you to be honest with yourself, because you test yourself on a regular basis in a way that you find out whether you're good or not. And it's not even good or not, because most of the time is, if you practice long enough, you'll be better than a lot of people, mm-hmm. and you'll be worse than a lot of people,
mm-hmm.
which keeps things in perspective, because it gives you a certain confidence in your skills, but at the same time, it prunes your ego from getting too grandiose, inflating yourself, essentially. It's healthy. It
yeah.
seems like a healthy thing to do.
And I think, like, more academic people look at, like, their reality tunnel is that they are, like, you know, academic. And they might, like, not like jocks. You hear people always like, oh, I hate jocks. Jocks are such...
What the hell does that
but
mean?
But it's like, you should learn, know what they know. And then, you know, by doing it, too, it just comes from this laziness and this, like, over-judgmentalness and without people doing stuff.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It's like when I'm around the so-called jocks, I want to go read a book. When I'm around the intellectuals, let me burn a library right now. You know, it's like it gets really boring when there's only one vibe all the time. It's
yeah.
dead. It's dull. I don't find it attractive at all.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got to go on hikes. You got to get outside, yeah. man. Get outside, people. Vitamin D.
Seriously.
Kick something. It's also, I think, like, I'm also a huge MMA fan. And mm-hmm. it's just, like, that is where, like, there's all this orthodox... It's like, what if something like an institution, like Catholicism, fought? And, like, you saw, it's, like, fought. It had, like, Jesus juice, and it shot at Buddhism. And then, you know what I mean? It's like, but you can look at something like Muay Thai, this institution, or Jiu-Jitsu, this, you know, and then see in the here and now what
fucking wins.
And you
see the strengths
wins.
And weaknesses, and that
yeah.
way you can keep the strengths and... supplement the weaknesses by adding something else. And speaking of create your own, I mean, MMA is all about creating your own,
mm-hmm.
right? It's about taking from different sources to make what works for you.
Yeah.
That's exactly the same model. So, I mean, the whole create your own religion thing in my book is basically applying the MMA model to religion. It's the exact same thing.
Yeah, when you get too orthodox in one thing, then you know... So that's how your brain should be,
mm-hmm.
as open to... Because as soon as you, like, believe something, it seems like Taoism is so open to everything,
mm-hmm.
you can't even consider it, like, a religion in the Western sense of the word.
Right, that's why the word religion is loaded, because in the
yeah.
West we associate it with sort of faith...
And acquiring accreditation.
Yeah, whereas, like, early Buddhism... Is it a religion? I mean, it doesn't really talk about gods, doesn't really have much of an emphasis on prayer or even rituals and stuff. So it's like, is that a religion? It's
mm-hmm.
who cares? It's a way of life. Call mm-hmm. it a religion, call it philosophy, call it whatever you want. It's more than a materialistic philosophy in the sense that it's addressing themes that are beyond purely the material element. But other than that, you know, if that's a religion, then yes, it's a religion. It really boils down to your definition, and it's not very interesting, again. If the word religion bugs you, scratch it and use a different one. It's
also why, are you like as addicted to podcasting as I am? Because I feel like when you get streams of as many different smart people's opinion
mm-hmm.
as possible, that is what opens your mind up.
Right.
When you get on a bunch of different streams of people who are experts. Like someone like, I've been really into Bobby Kelly's podcast. He's this comic in New York, but he has all these crazy New York comedy
mm-hmm.
seller comics on his podcast all the time. And it's like, they are doctors of talking shit. You know what I'm saying? And it's like, I want to get in their vibe. And then I listen to Drunken Taoist. And that's how, it's just really, it informs my mind by getting on these streams.
And I mean, it's crazy when you think about the fact that just a few years ago, none of these existed.
Yeah.
There was radio, which was much more institutional with, you know, all the bureaucracy that goes into ending up on a program and all of that stuff.
It really takes the sting out of people's thing, where it's like, oh yeah, there's this these institutions that are keeping information from us.
Yep.
But then I have my own podcast. I say anything I want.
Absolutely.
And I can see the file that I've uploaded There is no fucking filter whatsoever. I have to be in the system a little bit because you have to pay for RSS, so I have to have a credit card. So, but it's like I'm taking those tools and I'm trying to, like...
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
It's amazing how technologies have changed so much in so little time.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, hell, it's really probably like 3-4 years ago. Granted, I was probably out of the loop because most people did. But 4 years ago, I had no idea what the hell a podcast was. When they told me, oh, you need to do... you're going to be a guest on such podcast. I'm like, podcast? The hell are we talking about? You're like, well, it's kind of like radio, but you can swear. I'm like,
so
great.
When you first went on Rogan, you didn't even know what a podcast was? When you...
I had a very vague idea.
And then you also issued this thing that I can see is a big burden in your life, where you're like, anyone who sends me an email, I will respond within 24 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And then you go on these national podcasts, and you've said you've made almost a full-time job out of answering emails.
But, I mean, I'm doing it as long as I can. Eventually, maybe it will get to a point where it's just not feasible anymore.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much time in a day. So I try, because, I mean, it seems like a nice thing to do if people are want to put in the time in saying something or asking something. It seems like the right thing to do is you answer. It's just basic being polite. Of course, you can do it only up to certain numbers. And once you pass those numbers, it goes, you can't do it anymore.
Yeah.
I think that bugs me is when people who don't have those numbers don't bother doing that. You know, mm-hmm. when you are... You think you're hot shit because you have a few, you know, enough of a listenership and something, and you just decide that you are too cool to bother to respond to people.
Yeah.
That bugs me big time. So as long as I can do it, I do. Sometimes it's like people sometimes send me, oh, what's your opinion on this cool video? Look at this theory. An hour and a half video. It's like, sorry, man, I don't have an hour and a half to look at it. It's just not the way it works. It's if you can show me something in 2 minutes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Past the 2 minutes, I'm out of time because there are just too many things to, too many emails to reply to and all of that stuff. So again, as long as I can, I keep pushing it.
Mm-hmm. See, like before, you would, you know, someone you like would be on Johnny Carson that would really open your mind up or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then you would have to wait for a rerun. But now it's like everything you say is kind of tattooed in the internet forever. And it's archived. And so it's almost like there's this weird, like, thing where, you know, it's like the more amount of podcasts you are on, the more your opinion is virally radiating mm-hmm. in people's minds. I mean, it's really...
That's the other thing I've been doing, that I haven't really been saying no when people ask me to record a podcast.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, the last, in these 24-hour span, I'll be recording 3 podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's sometimes it gets to be a bit intense. It's like, okay, that's a little too much, but, you know.
But you feel like, you know, your ideas get out there, and that's satisfying.
Right, and again, if somebody's interested enough in wanting to ask you things, then why not?
Yeah.
You know, as long as you can pull it off physically, mm-hmm. then good. Then sometime I had to say to people, you know what, email me again in 2 months from now because I'm just swamped.
Mm-hmm.
Let's talk in a couple of months.
Well, you're a podcast soldier, man. You were just sick the other day. You mm-hmm. had a stomach flu.
Well,
you're back on the podcast saddle. Logging hours in flight time.
One last night, 1 hour, and I'll have Duncan Trussell on tonight.
Uh-huh. Well, on that note, I can't take any more of your time. Mm-hmm. You are the Drunken Taoist. You got the Drunken Taoist podcast.
Mm-hmm.
You have a book called Create Your Own Religion. Then another fighting one. What's that called?
On the Warrior's Path.
On the Warrior's Path. And, you know, a good way to buy that or anything you want on Amazon, click through the link around Highway Diary podcast and Eric Ollerbach. .com, anything you want to plug? Any your Twitter feed?
Twitter is dbolelli, so my initial, D as in Daniel, at dbolelli, B-O-L-E-L-L-I. That's about mm-hmm. it.
Yeah. Thank you so much for doing this.
My pleasure,
really,
man.
It's very nice of you.
Anytime.
All right. Thanks. Got a lot of shows coming up June 1st, Saturday at 9:30 in Flapper's Yoo-Hoo Room. June 2nd, then, we're just going to screen Debunkin' Mittwilhelm Skeptisch at Flapper's. And also a stand-up show Sunday, June 23rd at 7 p.m. I'm going to be in a stand-up contest at Flapper's. So
lot of flapper dates coming up. This has been Highway Motherfucking Diaries.